Whitaker hoisting up Ziggler. High up, also to the eye. Super kick.
Wow, what a shocker. It's done, he's retained.
Here's your winner, and still the NXT champion, Dolph Ziggler.
Mellow made it right.
I've been through too much just to live like this. Double up my cup, you can't sip like this. I fill my pockets till they stuff so they fit like this. Now she know I'm up cause I drip like this. Now I won't give a fuck, let it rip like this.
Stand and deliver. Like did it stand and or deliver? We're gonna chat about that on this special podcast, this Saturday afternoon podcast. Big weekend, WrestleMania weekend. We're your hosts, I'm Boris, and as always, I am joined by Matt.
Bonjour. How's everybody doing out there on this fine WrestleMania weekend? We hope you're doing well. Boris, the weekend started at about 4 o'clock on Thursday when Bloodsport 8 dropped. We saw an amazing Jon Moxley versus Biff Busick match. That'll be on the 122 of 2022. There was an incredible Ring of Honor show on Friday, an incredible WWE Hall of Fame show, a SmackDown that occurred, and now... And now, Boris, we had a pretty dang good NXT stand and deliver too. The second stand and deliver in the history of WWE. And it stood, and I believe it delivered.
Yeah, stand and deliver to Electric Boogaloo.
Indeed, and we rocked down to an all-time classic ladder match. I truly believe that. I think that was one of the great stunt shows in the history of WWE. One of the all-time best that I've ever seen in terms of pure car crash stunt show. Still made sense. Got a bunch of people involved. That's your match of the show. Awesome moment, too. There's some really good stuff on this show.
Exactly. We're going to talk about that. Man, it is, like, it feels so weird talking NXT stand and deliver on a show that we just finished watching at 4 p.m.
Absolutely. All these 4 p.m. podcasts lately. It's kind of nice. I kind of like the afternoon podcast. But yep. Yeah, man, how are you feeling right now, buddy?
About an hour and a half ago, I was gloating how good I felt. Not tired I felt.
Yeah.
And then it hit me like a sack of potatoes.
The second half of this show, actually, I'm not going to say it was a tough watch. There was nothing bad, but it did kind of hit a wall. You really only have to watch the first half of Stand and Deliver. So I can understand that. But yeah, we got a couple coffees going now. I feel like the adrenaline's flowing. We're going to be ready for WrestleMania and the post-WrestleMania show, the after party. It's going to be it's going to be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun. So just remember, if you're listening to this, I sent you the Zoom link. Make sure to log on, have a beer, a Great Lakes beer. Let's chat some WrestleMania. But that's going to happen in about 8 hours.
Oh, man. I'm excited, though. But yeah, we got to chat some NXT stand and deliver. So yep. Overall thoughts, kind of the tale of two shows. That happens a lot in WWE. Hot start, kind of mediocre finish. But at the same time, overall, I'm satisfied. I am sports entertained.
I don't need a cigarette. No. That I don't need after that ladder match.
Yeah,
I thought I did.
Needed a dart after the ladder match for sure.
Yeah, but like you said, I think you said it best. It was a tale of two shows, especially in NXT. This is happening more and more. But you know, overall, it was a good show. Something I do want to bring up. Let's talk about a couple stuff before we go right into things.
Let's do it.
And that is number one. Crowd, a lot more people in there than I thought.
Yeah, it was basically a full house, and it was more of a hardcore crowd than I thought. We expected it. We both kind of said it was going to be like a house show crowd, like families, more casual fans, especially because of the time. But no, it was the WrestleMania, kind of the hardcore fans. For the most part, it seemed like a rowdy NXT crowd.
Yeah. Number two, this is something that I noticed. The mixing was really weird because you can tell that the crowd was hot at times, but the way that they mix the sound now, you just can't tell. And I don't understand because it takes away from the overall show.
Yeah, I agree with that. They also kept like the close barricades. It felt like the fans were closer to the action. Yes. Which is just a decision they made just to do it because NXT rings now have the closed barricade. But they in the Performance Center, I get why they do it because they don't have the space. But this was American Airlines Arena. They did that by choice, and I think that's a terrible decision.
It was a horrible decision because, like we said, we were expecting someone to get injured at some point.
Especially in that ladder match.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like we were expecting someone to be injured in the Performance Center, and then they recreate that environment, and it really, I'm not going to say it took away from moves because everyone still did their crazy spots, but I was for sure worried about a couple people during a few spots in that match. Okay, the other thing I want to talk about, Vic Joseph and Wade Barrett.
Yeah, killed it again, man. They've been a highlight ever since, I don't know, like the pandemic. I feel like they really picked their game up, and like spending all that time together in the studio now, well, spending all that time apart, you know what I mean, has kind of taught them how to be better announcers. And now that they're back together, the chemistry is there. They have a chance to actually like play off each other. And it's really, really good. I am a big fan of their work.
Yeah, because there were some just gold, like Vic Joseph was on fire.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, Vic Joseph, yeah. Sneaky tall Vic Joseph. He's like, he's got to be like 6'3 or 6'4, right? Or maybe like a shoot 6'1, 6'2. If he was wrestling, he'd be like 6'4.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, the commentary is great. You know, it was a good way to start WrestleMania Day.
Yeah, commentary was great. They actually acknowledged the past of both WWE and NXT. They didn't insult your intelligence for watching this brand. They actually like made you feel like it was a good thing to watch NXT. And man, yeah, like production was solid, except for like you said, some weird audio gaffes maybe here and there. But oh man. Let's off the bat talk about the Peacock decision, the whole Triple H thing that if you're just a normal subscriber to Peacock in the United States, you did not see live.
Yep. So they cut to, they faded to black when Ciampa was in the ring after people were clapping for him. And then here on the network stream came right back.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that the Peacock premium was seeing what we were seeing.
Yes, I think, yeah, we have confirmation. People were posting on the Facebook thread that are from the States that were watching on Peacock Premium, who were watching with us the Triple H thing.
Yeah. So, you know what? I'm not too upset about that. You know why?
Well, me and you, we got to see the actual thing. But, that's one reason.
Well, if I'm getting the basic Peacock and I'm watching this show, you know, you give the people who pay more something extra. And I'm not saying this is anything huge, right? But
to me, though, this is the biggest instance of it that I've ever seen in WWE, well, at least since they've been on Peacock, at least, right? Because they, like, the biggest highlight of the show, the thing that I'm going to take away most from the show, even with that classic ladder match, is the awesome Triple H moment. We got to see Triple H on screen again in a WWE stage, if not ring, and he hugged Tommaso Ciampa. It was this beautiful, heartwarming moment. It was getting a little dusty upstairs in the apartment there.
It really was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And if you got Peacock just wanting to watch Stand and Deliver, you know what I mean? You just missed one of the most beautiful moments of the weekend just because.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so I think that sucks, man. I get it. Maybe it was kind of a spur of the moment thing. I'm sure it wasn't like a well thought out plan to fuck you, the consumer, over. But that's how it turned out a little bit. I just wanted to note that off the top, like tough beat for the basic Peacock subscriber. Yeah, is all I'm saying.
I agree. But again, you know, premium's premium for a reason.
Yes, sir. This is a premium world, and I am a premium girl or something.
We're spending way too much time together. All right, so let's get to the show. But before we do that, we have one last thing to do. That is a rating system de jour. Matt, what are you thinking?
Well, we got to shout out Triple H or Tommaso Ciampa or both. Fairy tale endings, maybe, because it was a fairy tale ending. Let's do fairy tale endings out of 5 for the great Tommaso Ciampa.
All right, so the pre-show started off with Sam Roberts, the hardest working reporter in all of professional wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell.
Oh, I thought you meant Sam. Oh, well, I have been fired from the NXT Talk podcast.
Oh, well, done. Well done. All right, so Sam Roberts, Mackenzie Mitchell, and Beth Phoenix were the hosts of the pre-show. They kind of ran through all of the crowd or the card. They focus on the Tommaso Ciampa versus Tony D'Angelo match. We get kind of Ciampa's video package. They then talk about the women's championship match. We get the hype package for that. Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams were standing on the high floors of a skyscraper. Trick and Melo hyped up Melo's North American Championship match. They made Marvel and Lion King references in their promo, which I absolutely adored.
I definitely liked the Lion King reference. Did not catch. Oh wait, it was the snap, right? Was the Marvel ref?
Because he told him that, like, you're like Thanos, you know, right, with all your wins.
I am not a superhero man, as you could tell. But I did actually. Yeah, this thap equal or snap equals Thanos. Yes, very good. Okay, if you do actually like go back and watch this promo though, it's very clear that Melo like was handed a script a half hour ago. It was just like, okay, I gotta like learn this thing, and you know what I mean. It was very obviously a scripted promo, though. Like you said, Boris, a cute one. I think it was pretty solid.
Yep. LA Knight and Gunther were shown arriving to the arena. They talk about the panel talks about this match. They talk about the tag team triple threat match. Malcolm Bivens then joins the panel to hype up Diamond Mine's participation, and then the pre-show got a little weird. Idris Inofi and Malik Blade cut in via video feed to interrupt Malcolm Bivens. Inofi was trying to convince Blade to give Mandy Rose a gift basket. After this, he went into quote-unquote Mandy's locker room to deliver the basket. Inofi pulled off the sign, only to reveal that it was actually Imperium's locker room. They yell at Blade. Blade walks out, all sad, and Inofi told him it was April's Fool's.
And then I actually laughed at the only thing I laughed at was the closing line when Malik Blade was just defeated and he softly goes, it's April 2nd. Yeah. that was the best part of this entire thing. Made the whole ridiculous promo worth it.
Yep. Grayson Waller was sitting on a bull statue in Dallas, which I know exactly where it is, which is kind of funny. Sangha was there. They hyped up himself and the North American Championship match. And he said he was going to make TakeOver go viral.
Yes, yeah, all about likes and views, this Grayson Waller. We'll get into that more in the ladder match.
Yes. Legado del Fantasma were shown sitting in a VIP lounge. Escobar hyped his participation in North American Championship match. He said he's fighting for history, legacy, and familia.
Good little promo, best thing on the pre-show so far.
Yep. The Persia Parada, Duke Hudson, that stuff. You know what?
Well, yeah, that's not talking about it yet because we saw the exact same promo beat by beat. The exact same video was played during the show. So we'll talk about it then.
Yep. They cut to the Dolph Ziggler Braun Breaker hype package. We get all that. And then it's time for the first and only match of the pre-show, which is for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. It was Toxic Attraction, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane versus Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. And right off the get-go, Dakota Kai's smile, ear to ear.
Yeah, she's a smiling baby face like a young Rocky Maivia out there, but I think it's genuine. I think she's just happy to be back with Raquel and happy to kind of be back as a baby face. I think her like crazy crackhead generic heel character was very bad and she deserves something better. It seems like she's just going to be a normal fighting baby face and let's do that instead.
So I was upstairs for this match. That's kind of when I joined you. And the first thing I noted, I looked at you and I'm like, you know what? If you think about it, they planted the seeds to this reunion back a few weeks ago when Raquel Gonzalez in the Dusty Cup, when Dakota Kai refused to beat up on Raquel Gonzalez.
Yeah, who was, it was Cora Jade and Raquel versus Wendy Chu and Dakota Kai. Yeah, and that exact thing happened, yes. So I good shout on your part for remembering that. And we've mentioned this before on the podcast. NXT often sucks and they make bad choices, but they do have a through line. They do always have a plan. And more often than not, like they're carefully planting seeds every week and they are watered and we do get plants. Sometimes those plants are beautiful, you know, roses. And sometimes those plants are Venus flytraps that kill us all.
Yep, exactly. I couldn't say it better myself. All right, so this match, you know, this match was typical. It was interesting because the dynamics were changed a little bit because it was Raquel Gonzalez and Tegueda Kai who were actually keeping Gigi Dolin in the ring. They kept hitting JC Jane. They kept her outside. It was kind of weird because it's like, usually the heels who do that.
Exactly, but it was the baby faces who cut off the ring, as it were. They were kind of working like demolition in there.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, and this match was fine. Nothing real bad.
Yeah, you know, it was like, average-ish, but, you know, like a solid pre-show match. The crowd was into it. I think there was a nice little moment there. I don't think anyone was expecting the tag title change, which we got clean as a whistle. Raquel pins JC, it was, with her Chingona Bomb, 7 minutes and 55 seconds, Boris.
Yep, exactly. Other things to note there is that Wendy Chu did show up.
Still wearing the PJs. She's still in her fucking pajamas, which sucks. I was really hoping they were going to write her out of the pajamas, but she's still wearing the onesie, Boris.
Yep, so that's pretty much it. Like we said, generic tag team match, okay match, nothing bad, not an affront to professional wrestling. It was a match, and it was a good pre-show match.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I've seen far worse. Having said that, it wasn't a patch on WLC, the best pre-show match of all time, but it was still pretty solid. We're going to go 3 fairy tale endings out of 5, 60% Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs percentage.
Well played. All right, so Cameron Grimes walks, he's walking in a park in Dallas. He's talking in his normal voice a lot more. He talks about how he's going to make his late father proud and take the North American Championship to the moon. He mentioned that it might be his last chance in NXT to become champion. At this time, I was a little nervous. I'm like, is he getting the call up?
Yeah. Excuse me. Yes. And I'm glad with how it turned out, but we've been saying for months we want Cameron Grimes to go up to the main roster. Let's do that at some point.
Yeah. Peter Rosenberg and Caleb Braxton, they hyped the fact that they are hosting the WrestleMania pre-show, which is starting in just an hour and a half. All right. They cut back to the hardest working reporter in all of professional wrestling, Mackenzie Mitchell, Sam, and Akbar, who gave some last thoughts on Ciampa yet again. And then the entrances started for the North American Championship match. And of course, Legado del Fantasma, Santos Escobar, can't even get a premium live event entrance.
Only 2 of the 5 combatants got to make their entrance on pay-per-view.
And of course, it had to be Legado.
Yeah, Legado got cut, as did Solo and Grayson. We did see Cameron Grimes make his entrance, and we also saw the defending champion Carmelo Hayes make his entrance on the live premium event.
Having said that, those entrances were worthwhile. Your champion has to be recognized.
And the guy who's going to eventually win the match might as well come to the ring on the show.
Exactly. So that kicks off the show. The first match of the morning.
Yes, the afternoon. The first match of high noon.
Yeah, it was Carmelo Hayes versus Santos Escobar versus Cameron Grimes versus Solo Sikoa versus Grayson Waller in the ladder match for the NXT North American Championship. One thing I do want to note, Trick Williams, Joaquin Wilde, Raul Mendoza, Electra Lopez, and Sangha were all there with their boys.
Yeah, and all factored into the match, not unlike TLC 2 for Mania X7, where all the seconds got involved. And I thought it added to the match, did not detract from it. As I've already stated off the top of this podcast, I thought this match was a banger, literally a classic. There are stunt shows that are just like, just crazy wacky stunts. And I'm not saying this didn't have crazy wacky stunts, but I thought like everyone looked good. There was kind of a clear story with a couple characters anyway. Grayson Waller, his motivations were clear. He got a clear through line, as did Carmelo Hayes, as did the eventual champion Cameron Grimes, in my opinion. I guess you could kind of say Solo Sikoa was just there.
He was there. My opinion, MVP of this match was Santos Escobar.
100 million%. The MVP of this match was Santos Escobar. And when I was going back and like thinking exactly what I'm going to rate this match, I was thinking of 2 or 3 of the things that Santos did, which were among the craziest stunts I've ever seen in a ladder match. One of the nicest sunset flip ladder bombs we've ever seen. Like the gimmick where you do a front flip over the top of the ladder, catch the guy on the way down and power bomb him.
It was so fluid.
One of the nicest that I've ever seen in my life.
And kudos to Solo Sikoa on that one.
Yeah, what a bump he took. That was really scary. Also, Santos did a ladder Kinrana. He do a flying Hurricane Rana off of a ladder onto Grayson Waller, who was standing on another ladder.
And Santos landed like a superhero. Aww. Like, he didn't just flip and flop. He kind of just landed like a superhero.
Like planted.
Like my superhero.
Amazing, man. Yeah, this was a crazy match. Some batshit wild stunts. Grayson Waller's double through the legs elbow, which he sold like death. Hopefully that was just him selling and not a legitimate injury. But he was selling like he popped his elbow out of place. A really, really gross bump through a couple ladders on the outside. Yeah, just a wild stunt fest. But I do think it accomplished enough. I do think, like I said, it had enough logic and structure to it that I would say it was a classic wrestling match. Just crazy. Wild match.
And we haven't even mentioned Trick yet. Trick Williams. Oh,
he's so hilarious on the outside.
Like, right away, I like the fact. So, you know, I saw him in the Facebook group, and actually, I wasn't really on the Facebook group too much because I was taking some notes. But Matt made mention that some people were complaining about, you know, why were these secondary people out there? And they factored into the match really well. Right off the bat, you had Trick Williams, you know, trying to set up ladders, but then you had Legado on one side, Sanga on the other side. So I kind of like that dynamic.
Yeah.
And also, it gave the guys a couple seconds to breathe. And, you know, it kind of added to the end of the match, which we're going to talk about in a little bit, because I absolutely love what NXT has been doing with these multi-people matches, and we'll get to that in a second. But yeah, there was just some great, 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 great wrestling in this match. Escobar with a beautiful lariat to Solo Sikoa at one point. You know, Grayson Waller, his story throughout the entire match, like we mentioned, was, you know, should I win the belt or get the likes?
Yeah, or go for the crazy highlight, go viral.
Because at one point, I forget who it was. I'm pretty sure it was Solo Sikoa, because he took a beating in this match.
Oh, my God.
You know, Grayson Waller was at the top of the ladder. He was looking down, and he had the chance for that viral shot, getting all the likes, or he could have climbed for the belt. And I love that, because he chose the belt. Now, another thing I want to point out. What's a lot of people's number one complaint about ladder matches?
I don't know. There's a lot of them, but I would say just like too fake, too contrived, too phony.
Well, exactly, because, you know, especially at the start of the match, you're climbing the ladder like you're climbing, yeah, it like with fireman's gear, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like climbing, like you're underwater, climbing like, yeah, you're climbing through molasses.
But this match, man, they were yeah, like, they timed stuff really well for the most part.
It was like, yeah, it was like a video game in that you could see their energy bar dwindling almost. At the start of the match, they were flying up that ladder. They were trying really hard to get the belt, and they were moving quick. But at the end of the match, once people started going through some ladders and taking some nasty licks, they were moving a little slower. And yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, some would say that this match hit different. You see? Because you made the video game reference, and now so did I. WWE 2K22.
Yes. Crashing on a system near you.
All right, so Waller and Escobar were brawling at the top of the ladder. Escobar gave Waller a Dragon Rana off the ladder. Sikoa caught Escobar with a splash. Grimes and Solo ended up brawling. Grimes sent Solo into the ring post. Grimes gave Solo a cave-in onto a ladder, which was bridged at ringside. Melo and Grimes brawled on the apron. Both men took each other out with pump kicks. Melo found his way to a ladder. Waller went for a crossover elbow drop, but Melo dodged it, and this is what we were talking about earlier, where just Waller looked like he just separated his elbow. Melo went for the belt. He got a hand on it, but Escobar gave Melo a Ghostbuster and a beautiful Phantom Driver.
Yeah, like devastating Phantom Driver there at the end of this match.
Yep. And then the camera angle was perfect for this, because it was a low shot.
Yeah.
Escobar was so happy with himself. He turns around, and Grimes, out of nowhere, hits him with a cave-in.
Off the top rope, hits a standing Escobar with a beautiful cave-in. Safe, but looked like it killed him. And yeah, Cameron Grimes scurries up the ladder, and in 21 minutes and 5 seconds, wins the match and is your North American champion. Just a banger.
Yep. So the last thing I want to really bring up about this match is I love the fact that everyone was kind of taken out of the match.
Yeah, in a logical way. Like, yeah, we saw Grayson taken out.
We saw all the sidekicks taken out.
Yeah, yeah. It was just, it was a true war of attrition that ended with Cameron Grimes hitting his finisher and winning the match.
Yep.
Decisively.
Yeah, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Like, yeah, you got all your typical stuff. You know, everyone had their moment. Everyone jumped out of the ring. Even the sidekicks did it. It was a great match. Matt, how would you rate this whopper of a match?
It was a whopper. We are going 4.5.
Woo!
A+. 4.5 fairy tale endings out of 5. It's a 90%. It's a Lion King. Not even a Lion King 2. A Lion King 1. It's an Aladdin. It's an all-time classic.
Back in September. Mid-September, when NXT 2.0 started, and we got really trashed and watched the first episode upstairs. Did you ever think that we would rate a match 4.5, whatever?
I actually did not. I was worried we'd never see it again. This is easily, easily the best match in NXT 2.0 history. Nothing is really even close. And yeah, man, tip of the cap to the 5 men involved and whoever put this thing together. You're all insane.
Yeah, exactly.
And the seconds and the managers as well.
Yep. All right, Tommaso Ciampa versus Tony D'Angelo. Hey ho, hey ho.
This was a match that was a veteran leading a rookie by the hand into what was a really good match. I would say, like, well, we'll rate it when we rate it, but I would say a very good match with an amazing, beautiful ending that I'll remember very, very fondly. So I actually loved the finish of this match. We should probably spend some time on that, but let's talk about the actual meat and potatoes before we got there.
Yeah, the meat and potatoes, this match was essentially a best of Tommaso Ciampa.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we saw...
with, even in his entrance, when he, you know, got the water, did the Triple H, went in the ring, did the HVK, you know, and then literally it was like a highlight reel of everything Tommaso Ciampa has done over the past 7 years in NXT.
Yeah, pulled the mats up. And that came into play later on in the match with the exposed concrete. Did the a bunch of knee bombs around the area of the ring. Did the classic Tommaso Ciampa pat yourself on the back spot. Hit all of his big moves, including the Widow's Bell and the fairy tale ending. And, I mean, the young guy kicked out of all of his shit straight up.
Yeah, exactly. So D'Angelo hit Ciampa with a fisherman buster for 2. D'Angelo yelled at the timekeeper to do his job, A-O. D'Angelo tried to drag the crowbar into the ring. He was caught by the Will's Bell. Ciampa hit D'Angelo with the fairy tale ending. And this is when he kicks out yet again. Ciampa locked D'Angelo in a crossface.
A Gargano escape, no
exactly,
doubt.
Exactly, exactly. D'Angelo then got to the bottom rope for the break. You know, they were hitting back and forth. D'Angelo gave Ciampa a spike DDT to the exposed concrete. He dragged Ciampa to the center of the ring. And Matt, tell us how the match ended.
Yeah, so it was a scene straight out of Sopranos. Tony D'Angelo looks at the groggy, beaten Tommaso Ciampa, flips him off in the Italian style like a young Nunzio would, FBI, says, Vaffanghul, which you can throw that into Urban Dictionary. It's not something nice, Boris. Basically the equivalent of F-U in Italian. And he just kicks him in the face and pins him. Boots him in the head and pins him 1, 2, 3. And you know what? I loved it. I actually loved that finish. It was a little out of nowhere. You didn't expect it to be the end, but I'm glad it was. I thought it was a beautiful way for Ciampa to go out.
Yep, so Tony D'Angelo beat Tommaso Ciampa in what, 13 minutes and how many seconds?
I thought it was 13:13, I believe.
Yep, there you go, man. Yeah, so I love the fact that, like, Tony D'Angelo basically just said, I'm the Don now. Got the hell out of the ring.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
so
Ciampa
I would say,
alone.
Yeah, like 3.5-star match with a 4 or 5-star finish here, which is coming up, Boris. We explained it off the hop with the whole Triple H moment, but basically, Tommaso Ciampa walking up the ramp, about to leave, and bow down to the King of Kings theme hits, and Triple H makes his first appearance on WWE TV since his health issues. Standing ovation, gives Ciampa a big hug. They're both crying. Got a little dusty in the apartment. Just a beautiful moment. And if you didn't pay for the extra money on Peacock, you didn't see it.
Yeah, dude, it was honestly, it was so cool, and I never realized how similar they look.
Yeah, it literally looked like a little brother, or like you put Triple H in the microwave for too long, and then Ciampa came out.
Yeah,
So yeah, for the whole package, the way we rate matches, let's give it 4 stars. It was a beautiful moment, but like the match itself in the ring was like 3, 3.5.
Yep, exactly. All right, this leads us into the NXT Tag Team Championship match. Ivy Nile and Malcolm Bivens walked out first. The Creed brothers came out second, came out behind them. And kudos to Malcolm Bivens with his Teddy Long and getup.
Teddy Long inspired gear, looking like the manager of Doom, circa like 1989.
Yep. All right, MSK makes their entrance with a personal DJ. Imperium comes out to a new theme.
It's just like, why? You're not even paying for their old theme. It's classical music. Yep. Why change it to generic biddly, biddly, biddly? But if you want to just change it to tag team's theme, I get that. But man, they change Walter's name. They change his theme song. He's 30 pounds lighter, and he just doesn't feel quite the same anymore. He's still amazing. He's still Walter, but it's just a little bit of the blooms off the rose, you know?
Yep, I agree. All right, so triple threat tag team match for the NXT Tag Team Championship. This match, I don't know. I guess it was okay.
I thought it was very good. It was all action, like a crazy spot fest. Not the all-time classic crazy spot fest. I think it was hurt slightly by the fact that it was the same style of match as the ladder match, minus the ladders, right? So they were hampered in that regard. A lot harder to do a stunt show when you're not diving off of platforms and such. Anyway, it was a very good match, though, I thought.
Brutus was the MVP of this match for me.
He was hilarious in this match. The cannonball dive.
The cannonball dive from the top to everyone on the outside was one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was actually hilarious. We both laughed out loud. Yeah, so we got a note. Crowd still hates Nash Carter. They're okay on Wesley, but they do not like this Nash Carter fella from MSK.
Yep, we're not even going to go into why, but there's stuff going on. Why, you know, especially the NXT crowd wouldn't like him. But, yeah, hopefully WWE figures something out. It's just crazy, man. And it's crazy to think when you think of the result and everything going on. And here we are, man. But, yeah, this match had a lot of spots. This match had a ton of spots. Fabian Aichner, again, so freaking good.
Yeah.
It's crazy how agile he is.
Absolutely. Not only is he stronger than an ox, but he's so quick, so agile, like you said, just so smooth and fluid in there. He's an incredible wrestler. Julius and Brutus are still very new. I'm pretty glad they didn't win the titles. Although I am surprised that the other guys did.
Yeah, exactly. So I forgot what the name of the move was, and it took me, like, when I came down, I had to actually look it up, and it took me a little while. So Lee dove on Imperium with a Fosbury flop.
Yes, yeah. It's the old space flying tiger drop, yeah.
Yep. And then Carter hit Aichner with a swanton, beautiful-looking swanton bomb. Like, it was so fluid. Lee hit Aichner with a spiral tap for a 2 count.
MSK, that was the one to me. Like, it was like a 720 big splash, basically, the spiral tap. Incredible move.
Oh, it was crazy. It was absolutely beautiful. MSK and Imperium were brawling in the corner. Aichner and Lee suplexed Julius into Bartel and Carter. Brutus gave MSK and Bartel a top rope cannonball pool dive. Julius slammed Carter to the mat. Bartel broke up the pin and tossed Julius into the steps. Imperium gave Brutus a European bomb at ringside. Carter used a sunset bomb to escape a European bomb attempt by Imperium, which is crazy. Like watching me talking about this isn't giving,
oh no,
painting a good picture at all. Lee caught Bartel with a Frankensteiner, which sent Bartel into a power bomb by Carter to give the victory. And it's crazy because like this was all in the air.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so the old second rope Frankensteiner, the Brett's rope Frankensteiner, and then Nash Carter on the ground caught Marcel out of midair, delivered the power bomb. Really awesome finish. I could see it being their new finisher.
Yep, so MSK are your new NXT Tag Team Champions.
Two-time Tag Team Champions, 11 minutes and 21 seconds. I thought it was a very good match.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah, I would go as high as 3.5 on this one. Like, all action, spectacular tag team match. 3.5 fairy tale endings out of 5.
Yep, you didn't see this. This was actually pretty good. Joe Gacy and Harlan, they were outside in a landmark in Dallas where JFK was shot.
Oh, okay.
So they're walking out there. Gacy talked about the history of the site and how it was the site of a real tragedy. Gacy then talks about how he wants to unite people in the world and hope that people choose peace, unlike what was chosen in this landmark.
Oh, that's an interesting promo to cut. Yeah. I wish I would have seen that.
Mm. Yep. Vic Joseph and Wade Barrett, they checked in from ringside. They recapped the pre-show. We get a video package to hype up the women's championship match. And then we get the entrances for Mandy Rose, Cora Jade, Io Shirai, and Kay Lee Ray, really doing her best TMNT impression of Casey Jones.
The Kay Lee Jones. Something that you pointed out last week on the NXT talk show, which they highlighted in the video package to this match. Mandy Rose was sure to say, she said generic insult about Cora Jade, generic insult about Kay Lee Ray, but was sure to say about Io Shirai, she is going to send Io packing, banish her from NXT.
Yep.
So, yep. We could be seeing a call up there, Boris, but a shocking result in this match. This was the one match where I thought they were going to change the title.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, we flipped, like.
Absolutely. But yeah, a very sloppy match. I can see the Wrestling Observer rating this like 1.5 to 2 stars. I would go a little higher just because I think like the overall package worked and the crowd really bought this match. The crowd did enjoy this match. They were chanting women's wrestling. I think there was a "This is awesome." I don't know if it was awesome, Boris, but the crowd thought it was awesome. Well, that's the job.
You can't chant, "This is mediocre." is mediocre.
This is a terrible chant. I hope we never hear that. But yeah, it worked for these people on this day. So who am I to say that it was bad?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. It was just like, it was sloppy. One thing about Cora Jade that I noticed, and it's like, I know she's short, but for some reason today, she looked very tall and lanky.
Very lanky, Cora Jade is.
And like it's almost as if because she's so young, she's still kind of growing into her adult.
The lankiness. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. She does have like kind of the high school kid thing going on.
Yeah, it's so crazy. But this match was slow, sloppy.
But not without its charm. Solid.
The execution was good, but it just seemed a little too choreographed at times.
That's fair. I agree with that.
Yeah. All right, so Jade caught Ray and hit Ray with a Canadian Destroyer on the apron, which is just...
spot of the match, for sure. Definitely like the biggest highlight of Cora's young career.
Yeah, Rose and Shirai were brawling onto the top rope. Shirai hit Rose with a top rope Spanish fly suplex. Jade broke up Shirai's pin with a diving senton. Jade hit Rose with a running knee. Jade hit Rose with a rough-looking sliced bread. Jade then hits Rose with a modified pay dirt for a two count. And at this point, I'm like, oh my God, is Cora Jade not going to win? And then Ray hit Jade with a gory bomb. Shirai shoved Ray off the top rope. Shirai then hits Cora Jade with a moonsault. Rose catches Shirai with a running knee to pick up the win.
And Mandy Rose beats Io Shirai with the V-trigger. Eat shit, Kenny Omega, 13 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah. Dude, it was just crazy. And it's for me, it was crazy the fact that it was Io Shirai who ate the pin.
That's what I mean. But it seems like she was going out of the territory on her back. And she's going to be in hopefully SmackDown, maybe Raw. But the main roster very soon. I think so.
Yep.
If you wanted to say this was a bad match, I would accept it. I thought that, all things considered, they cleared the Mendoza line just barely. We're going to go 3 fairy tale endings out of 5. And again, V-trigger victory, Mandy Rose wins, 13 minutes and 30 seconds for this one.
Right. This is when the show really changed for me. It's crazy because it was this particular promo
that just kind of just put you to sleep. You were just like...
It's the Indy Hartwell, Persia Perota stuff. I got nothing.
Yeah, just their backstage. They're not their backstage. They're at a cowboy clothing apparel store. They're buying Western-themed clothing. They're making jokes. You've seen like the old bit of people coming out of the change room with various outfits on. Hilarity ensued, Boris. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Pro wrestling as a 3-ring circus, I get it. You got to try to, you know, do some sports entertainment, get a little bit for everyone. But these things are missing the mark. This is wrestle crap, my opinion.
Yeah. I got nothing. Anyway, Index won 90% of the vote. They get in a fight. discontinuous.
Yeah, mixed tag team match, I'm sure, in a week or two.
Yep. All right, Braun Breaker with two Ks was shown working out, and then Gunther makes his entrance for his match against LA Knight.
It's crazy. Like, they change his name from Walter to Gunther, which isn't that big a deal, but it hurt him a little bit. And then they changed his theme song from the amazing song that he's had his entire career, even on the indies, to this generic biddly rock, as OSW review would say. Which doesn't kill his career, but it hurts him just a little bit. And he went down from 300 pounds, 320, to what, like 250, 260? Which, honestly, good for him, good for his health. But it kind of hurts him a little bit. It kind of makes him less imposing, less scary. And all these things back to back, none of them, you know what I mean? None of them are that big a deal. But together, they're kind of fucking this guy over.
But it's interesting that you say that, because when he showed up in NXT UK, he was a monster.
Absolute monster.
He's just another wrestler now. He's a big wrestler with a good chop.
Yeah. Yeah, especially this match. This was like one of the worst.
LA Knight got a lot of offense in this match.
Yeah, man, yeah. I didn't love this
and
match.
And like, not to the detriment of LA Knight, right? Like, he did a good job. LA Knight actually surprised me with some of the moves that he could pull off. But Gunther, FKA Walter, he's just not that special little gem anymore.
No. Sadly, I agree, and I'm not saying like he's doomed. I'm not saying he'll never feel special again, but at this moment on this show, Walter was just another guy, and it was very, very sad. This is still a good match, but it was on the low end of Walter matches I've ever seen. Gunther.
Yep, so Gunther locks Knight in a sleeper. Knight powers Gunther up into the Argentine backbreaker position and hit Gunther with a burning hammer for a two count. What?
That's true. LA Knight hit a burning hammer in this match. I remember that. I was just like, oh my God. Oh yeah, that did actually happen. I saw that with my own eyes.
Yep, Gunther recovered and he crotched Knight when Knight went in. High risk. Knight fell off the top rope when Gunther chopped him off. Gunther then gave Knight a splash. Gunther flattened Knight with a power bomb, and he gets the win in about 10 minutes.
Yes, 10 minutes, 26 seconds. I did like the finishing stretch where he hits the big Van Walter splash from the top rope, followed by a devastating powerbomb. And at least Gunther wins clean. But yeah, just disappointing to see how they screwed. They massacred our boy, Boris. Look what they've done to our boy.
Like I said, he just doesn't feel special anymore.
And he used to feel special every single time. And within a couple months of being a 2.0, they've completely ruined what made him special. Yeah. At the same time, still a very good, a decent match. We'll say slightly above that Mendoza line. We're going to go 3 fairy tale endings out of 5 for this one, too.
All right. This leads us into the main event of the afternoon. So weird saying that.
So weird.
And it was for the NXT Championship. Dolph Ziggler with Robert Roode versus Braun Breaker with 2 Ks.
So you know what? They've been telling us for a month now how shocking it was that Dolph Ziggler won, even though we both predicted that it was going to happen. We were like, why are they doing a triple threat match? Ziggler's going to win this title, isn't he? And then he did. So it wasn't that shocking. This was shocking. I did not expect him to retain in the main event of the big show.
Yeah. He retained. Everyone listening, Dolph Ziggler is still your NXT 2.0 champion.
Didn't do it clean, but I did like the way they did it. So like about like halfway through the match-ish, about at the 5 to 10 minute mark. So close to halfway. This went, 16? So yeah, about the 8 minute mark. Robert Roode gets thrown out of the match. Classic referee, you're out of here spot. And while that commotion is going on and Braun Breaker's not paying attention, that's when Dolph Ziggler goes and takes the middle turnbuckle off in one corner. And that's a Chekhov's gun that would be loaded and would come into play at the end of the match when Braun Breaker is thrown into that turnbuckle. Dolph hits him with a super kick and wins in 16 minutes. So a weird match, but I did like the finish. I did think it was pretty clever. Very surprising, though. Oh, my God.
Yeah, 100%. Super surprising. See, this match, I think Braun Breaker overall did a good job of showing where he's at skill-wise, right?
Yeah, he's still green, as they say. He is still, like, a little sloppy. He's a bull in a china shop, but he's going to be an incredible wrestler. His athleticism is through the roof.
When he went for the cannonball out of the ring,
yeah,
I was so afraid for more. I was more afraid for Bron Breakker hitting the top rope, which he almost did.
Almost did. And then, like, it was a weird landing. It seemed as though Robert Roode got caught in his gear and almost ripped his Bron Breakker off.
We almost saw his little breakers with two Ks.
Jesus. The H. Oh, man. Anyway, it's still, still a decent match. It wasn't the TakeOver main event that we've seen before. You know what I mean? But this isn't a TakeOver. It's 2.0.
Yep, that's exactly it, man. This show and this match especially felt so main roster.
This was a very good Monday Night Raw match. That's exactly what this was.
Yeah. So, yeah, like, in terms of highlights, there wasn't really much. Like, this was just a generic championship main event.
Yeah, they did. Well, Ziggler got hit by, what, 3 spears, I think, in this match, and 2 of the Steiner drivers, the press slam into the body slam thing. The second time was when Robert Roode came back out despite being thrown out. So, I don't know. It was not a clean win, right? Dolph Ziggler cheated and cheated a lot to get this victory. But at the same time, he beat him. Yep. I'm still shocked about it.
Exactly. So Ziggler, started to toot the horn, as they say. So yesterday, when I was talking with people, I'm thinking of, like, you know, those old sayings that I'm trying to bring back. So, like, hoot nanny and stuff like that. You know, I'm going to start using those in my everyday talk.
Cool. That's a good look for you. I think it's going to go well.
This match had moxie, let me tell you that.
it did have a little bit of moxie for sure.
All right, so Ziggler started to toot his horn again for the super kick. Ziggler froze in place when Breakker with 2 Ks just stood up. Breakker hit Ziggler with a few stiff lariats. Ziggler escaped Breaker's finisher with a rake to the eye. And then he shoves him into the exposed turnbuckle. He hits him with a devastating super kick for the win in about 16 minutes.
Yeah, just shocking. But I guess Dolph Ziggler will drop it to somebody else on the roster. Who's the next hot young babyface who could take that title?
Ooh, I don't know. I don't even know right now. Like, who? Okay, let's have this conversation right now. In the words of the immortal Goldberg, who's next?
Who is next? Do they turn Legato face? Cameron Grimes already has a title. Carmelo Hayes could get the big title. That's a good use of him.
Honestly, Santos.
Yeah, Santos.
I think it should be Santos.
We all know what you think, Boris.
No, but the crowd loves Santos, and today proved it. Like,
yeah, it just booted Boris by accident.
That wasn't a boot. That was footsies.
No, but Santos absolutely is incredible. Crowd was super into him, definitely. And yeah, man, I can see it.
Yeah, the crowd is, you know, I like today's show because you kind of saw how everyone else thinks, what everyone else thinks of these wrestlers.
Definitely. It was nice to step outside the NXT bubble and see what turned out to be a hardcore crowd. Let's see what they think.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you know, this was a good WWE main roster style pay-per-view match. Nothing crazy, a little sloppy at times. Question, is Breakker with 2 Ks ready for the main roster?
Is he ready? No, not quite, but I'm sure he's going. Yeah, for the match, I would go probably as high as 3.5 out of 5. We'll call it 3.5 fairy tale endings out of 5 for that one. Very solid. NXT Stand and Deliver 2. Yeah, Breaker's not ready. Before we go, so it seems like Toxic Attraction is staying because Mandy Rose still has her title. Cora Jade nowhere close to ready. Io Shirai and Kaylee Ray both clearly ready. And it's been said that Io Shirai is being banished from NXT. So it looks like that's going to happen.
Yep. It really does look like that's going to happen. And it's crazy. But I think that's for sure going to happen. I have this weird feeling. And this is like the dark horse pick that Diamond Mine is going to make its way up soon.
I think they still need a lot of seasoning.
I think so,
yeah.
Too.
I disagree with you on that one. I think they're going to be in NXT for a while.
Imperium.
Yeah, Imperium is due for sure. They're
Now with the music change. Nah. Now with them losing the titles and you know, yada, yada, yada.
They're set up, definitely. LA Knight feels like it's got to be soon. It's basically like now or never. What is he, 38, 39? Yeah. Yep. So he's got to get up there soon if he's going at all. So there's going to be some turnover here in NXT very shortly.
Yep, exactly. All right, Matt, so that was NXT Stand Deliver right before WrestleMania Saturday. Anything else you want to say before we go?
No, thank you very much for listening. Keep it locked here. We're going to be live on YouTube and Zoom in just a few hours. And yeah, definitely check out that ladder match and that awesome Triple H Tommaso Ciampa moment. And that's basically all you need to see on this one.
Exactly. All right, he's Matt. I'm Boris. Catch you in a few hours. Till next time. Adios.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's no lie, we on the same page. From the bottom, now we ballin' like Dwayne Wade. I've been through too much just to live like this. Double up my cup, you can't sip like this. I fill my pockets till they stuff, so they feel